Dear Sangha, today is the 16th of February in the year 2012, and we are in the Full Moon Meditation Hall in the New Hamlet in the Winter Retreat. This Sunday, we will have the last Dharma talk of the Winter Retreat, and after that, we will have the closing ceremony for the Winter Retreat right away. So remember to bring your Sanghati, so that on Monday, we don't have to go one more time. And the ending day of the Winter Retreat is a very great day. And for sure, we will have a very wonderful dish. The ending of the Winter Retreat, it is the most happiest day of the Buddha. The day where it is most joyful, but it is also a joyful day for everyone, for the whole Sangha. 3 months Winter Retreat. We have learned a lot. We have taken a big step on our path of practice, and it is the day that we are celebrating our success of 3 months of studying together. We have lay friends that have been able to stay with us for the whole Winter Retreat, 3 months. And on that day, they will also be able to participate in the closing of the Winter Retreat. In our body, it is like a machine, like a computer. But we work better than a computer. Our body, it has the brain, our nervous system, and it's like the hard disk, the CPU, the software, and our mind. Is like the electricity. If we don't, like a computer, if it doesn't have electricity, then it can't function. And so in that way, our practice, it needs to have mindfulness. Our practice, it has to have a source of electricity, a source of energy, and that is called mindfulness. Thanh niệm in Vietnamese is mindfulness. And when the electricity is on, when mindfulness is on, and if mindfulness is not there, then it's off. But when you have mindfulness, then it's on. And at that time, there is practice. And when mindfulness is off, then there is no practice. And so mindfulness is a type of energy. It is a source of electricity that helps us to truly be there, to be present, so that we can strive forward, to truly be there, to strive forward. And if we are not there, then we will sink. And so in that way, we need to keep on, mindfulness on. And there are many ways in which we can keep the mindfulness on. We can practice following our breathing, following our steps. And when we're able to hold our mindful breathing, then we are on. And when we let go of those things, then it will be off. And we can say, the practice of Plum Village is being present. Being truly present. Right here and right now. How can we truly be present right here and right now? Being present for who? For our body. For our consciousness and for life. Inside of us and around us. Being present. Being present to be in touch with the miracles of life, to be nourished and to heal, to have transformation, to be able to recognize the suffering, the positive at the negative in order to know how to handle and to change and transform it into nourishing elements. There are people that work in the garden. They need to be present at the garden in order to work in the garden. Is that correct? Being present at the garden, then they can take care of the different flowers, the trees, and the vegetables, the greens, and it can help nourish us and make our life more beautiful. And if there's anything that is wilted or has been broken or there's trash, or then we can use it in order to transform it so that it can be compost, a nourishing elements to nourish the tree and the flowers. And the person that works in the garden needs to be to care of their garden. And what is our garden? Our garden is our body, our feelings, our mind, our perceptions, our consciousness. We need to be present for ourselves. Imagine there is a country that doesn't have a government, that doesn't have a king. Then that country, there is nobody to take care. So you need to have a form of government. And for us, it's the same. We need to be present for, in our earth, in our territory, to take care of our territory, because our territory is very large. We need to be king. We need to be president. In our territory, we need to know what is precious, what is beautiful, in order to protect it. And we need to know the things that are not beautiful in order to fix it. We need to be king or queen, and we can't run away. And there's people that don't want to be king, and we just want to run away because it's so tiring to be king. We run away by means of watching television, or we go on the internet, or we listen to music. We don't want to return to our land. We are kings or queens that don't have responsibility. And so in that way, we need to become aware of our responsibility, that we need to be king, queen. We need to return to take care of our territory. And we can learn the way how to take care of our territory. Practicing mindfulness means we know how to take care of our territory. And the sutra on the full awareness of breathing shows us all the methods of, first of all, to come back to our breathing. The breath is a path, a direction, is a royal path that helps us to return to our body. We are going on a royal path in order to return to our body. Returning to our body, taking care of our body, making the stress a decrease in our body, the pain in our body to decrease. And we learn the methods to do that, like total relaxation, following the breathing in order to calm our body, to calm our feelings. And those are the things, those are the first things that we need to do. One in breath, it can help to calm down our whole body. And it can help to release the pain, the tension in our body. And so, during that time, our mind returns to our body already. Then we are truly present in order to take care of the other parts in our territory. And there are our feelings, our emotions, and other mental formations. And so, when we learn of the fourth breathing in the sutra of the third breathing, we recognize breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. And it's very clear, we return and we recognize. And the fourth, breathing in, I release the tension in my body. And it's very clear. And it's each step in that way. And it's very concrete. And a practitioner needs to know how to calm our body, calm our mind. And that is peace. That is peace. And we only need to hold the method, solidly the method of breathing, of walking meditation, then, and we are able to do that already. So the third practice, returning to our body, recognizing our body, becoming aware of our body. And the fourth is releasing the tension, calming down our body. It's very clear. And when we go to the fourth practice, the fifth practice, we know how we create a feeling of joy, because a practitioner needs to have the capacity in order to create happiness, to create joy for ourselves. If you want to have happiness, joy, then you can create that right now. You use your breathing, your steps, your mindfulness, and you create that happiness, and you can help to create happiness for the person in front of you to also have that happiness. And that method is very simple. First of all, when we are present, then we look and we see that in our body and around us, there are conditions of happiness. There are conditions of happiness. And there is a lot. And that is the use of mindfulness, of being right here and right now. By being present right here and right now, then we can recognize the conditions of happiness that are present. Like our eyes are bright. We are not deaf yet. Our body is still soft. It's not stiff like a person that has died. And so when Tai practices the mindful movements, Tai says, oh, I'm still alive. I'm putting my hands up right now. And I feel very happy. And that's nothing scary. We just are become aware that, I still have hands and I'm not stiff as a log and I'm not waiting to go to be cremated. And when we are aware in that way, the conditions of happiness, that our eyes are bright, our legs, our feet are strong, our ears can still hear, then those conditions of happiness are so plenty, and we just need to be truly present in the present moment. And those are the methods, one of the methods of how we can create happiness. The second method is comparing. We should compare with situations of unhappiness, because when in our life, in each person's life, there are times in which we have difficulties or we are suffering. For example, a passing away of a close one, of a loved one, or an accident that had happened for ourselves or for our family. Sickness or some kind of accident, or times in which we are very sick, very ill. That's considered as already in the past. And during those times, we had so much suffering. And it was very difficult for us to create happiness. And in each of us, we keep those images inside of us. And if right now we are sitting here and we bring those images to the present moment to compare with the present moment, then we can see very clearly that the happiness arises right away. It's like when we have this book, a blue cover, and we put a white piece of paper on top of the blue notebook, then there is the image of the suffering. But when we bring that image and we compare with the happiness right now with the white piece of paper, then that happiness shines. But if not, then we have happiness and we're not aware of it. We're not aware of it. It's like if you put it on white and white, you can't see it clearly. And then we take it for granted. And we can't see how precious the conditions of happiness right now. So the second method is bringing the suffering that we have in the past to compare of the conditions of happiness we have right now. And it makes that happiness shine. You can see it more clearly. And this is an art. It's very different from being drowned in the past of suffering. There are people, they have fought in the war of Afghanistan or Iraq. And they did not die in the battlefield. But when they return to their country, they don't have the capacity to live in the present moment. And they just return to the past and they hold on to their suffering, their pain, and the difficulties that they have encountered in the past, and they can't let go. And in the present moment, there are many things, many miracles, and they cannot be in contact with it. And so in that way, there needs to be a person or a psychologist or a Sangha member needs to pull them out of the past so that they can be in contact with the present moment to remind them that what they're thinking of, it's already in the past. Why do you keep on putting yourself in the past? You need to return to the present moment. You need to be into contact with the miracles in the present moment so that you can live. You should not be tied down with the past. And you need to have a psychologist or a Sangha to help to be able to return to the present moment. That's a different thing. But our issue here is that we don't return to the present moment to be pulled away and to be carried away by the past. But we take the image of the past just to compare, to see that in the present we have so many conditions of happiness in the present, and that image of the past, it helps us to recognize that of the happiness we have right now. And the methods of Buddhism is like that. A practitioner needs to have the capacity to create joy and happiness, and by which means, first of all, to recognize the conditions of happiness in the present moment. Second, to compare our past, the difficulties that we have gone through, with the conditions of happiness right now. And the happiness will be created right away, very quickly. And when there is a friend that is drowned in the past and they can't live in the present and their face is looking like they're suffering, you can ask them, what are you thinking? And we help to pull that person out. Oh, today it's such a beautiful day. There's the sunshine. And it's like the spring is coming. It's like a miracle. It's helping that person to take them out of the past so that they can be into contact with the miracles of life in the present moment. And so a practitioner can create joy and happiness for ourselves and can help to create joy and happiness for another person. And that is not something that is very difficult. We need to practice to do it. And once we're able to do it, we need to do it many times throughout the day. And with each step, each breath, each smile that we take, we can create happiness and joy, and that is happiness. And that is the fifth and the sixth practice, creating joy and happiness. And the seventh and the eighth practice, it is handling suffering. When there is suffering, suffering that arises, then we need to know how to handle and deal with it. We should not let it overwhelm us. And we also use mindfulness. When we have a suffering, a pain that arises in us, then we shouldn't run away. We need to be present for it and say, I am here for you. We need to practice our mindful breathing, our steps, so that we can have the energy of mindfulness. And with that energy, we recognize our suffering, our pain, and we embrace it. We calm it down. It's like we bring our body and we calm down the tension and the pain in our body. And when we're able to do it with our body, then we can also do with it with our feelings and our emotions. And while we are practicing, we can have a sangha. And the sangha is our friends on the path. Each person has the capacity to breathe and walk in mindfulness. And when we sit together, we create an energy, a collective energy of mindfulness that is very powerful. When we hear a sound of the bell, everyone is breathing. And that energy of mindfulness that has been created from our mindful breathing, a collective energy is very powerful, and the transformation is very effective. And a practitioner, we can benefit from that energy to help to embrace our pain and our suffering. Dear Sangha, dear brothers and sisters in the Sangha, this is my suffering. Please, brothers and sisters, help me to embrace this pain and this suffering, so that we allow ourselves to be embraced by the Sangha. It's like allowing the water and the stream to be embraced by the ocean. And so that's why there is a phrase that said that when you eat a meal or eat rice, you need to have soup. So when you practice, you need to have friends. And so the first eight practices, we need to hold them solidly, practice them solidly. Those eight breaths, eight practices, exercises, they help us to return to our body, to take care of our body and our feelings very clearly. Today, we will learn the eighth gatha, which is the last of Alambana Pariccha. It has been translated. The potentialities of forms, sounds, etc., in consciousness manifest themselves like the five organs. That is what happens. These potentialities, together with the objects, images, have been generating each other since time immemorable. Is there another marker? Shak. Form is called rupa. Rupa, it's translated as maitreya, matter. And gomnang. It's sometimes called jungtu, bija, seeds. It's sometimes called Jumta Ubisha, seeds. It is a type of energy. Energy. And so we can say Gongnang Shak. there are two things. First, it's matter and energy. Trong thức, in the consciousness, there are two. It has the form and it has energy. And we know when we have a perception, then that perception, it is composed of the object, of the subject, which is called năng trí, and đối tượng, which is the object. And so the object of consciousness is the image that we see in our perception. And năng trí, the subject, and we've learned many times that the subject and the object, they rely on each other in order to manifest at one time. And according to these teachings, the subject and the object of consciousness, they manifest from these energies. Sometimes it's called matter, sometimes it's called energy. Usually, we divide between the mind and matter, but they are two faces of the same, of like the same coin. It's like there are two faces of one reality. It's matter is energy, and energy can become matter at any time, and vice versa. For example, when there is a machine, an electron, and it's negative, and when it meets a positive electron, they can create positive electrons.
But there's some particles so small where they have no mass at all. Some from negative electron and positive electron, they met with each other. They destroyed each other. And there's a little, very little explosion, and then they disappear. And during that moment, they manifest two photons, two little particles of light, and they call diagam, gamma rays. So the matters now, this become energy. Negative electron and positive electron met with each other, disappear, and reappear in two photons, two gamma ray. It's really interesting. And if the two gamma touch each other and there's a little explosion, and then you go back again, electron positive and electron negative. So from energy, they become back to matters, matter become back to energy. So two but one. And this, nowadays, scientists said that the roots of all things are matters and energies. This they call a kind of field of strength, of forces, field of forces. Some scientists declare powerfully that the ultimate reality is some force. The ultimate reality is the field of forces. That field of force are equivalent to, in Buddhism, is bija, it means seeds. And these, they have six characteristics of the bija, of the seed, are impermanence, they mentioned last week about the six characteristics of the bija, of the seed. And when we look at the five bases, five bases of your sense organs, eyes, ear, nose, tongue, body, touch. In order to be in touch with five sense organs is two bases. Five bases is a base to give birth to eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness. So the eyes is only basis. The eyes are not consciousness. So thanks to the eyes that in touch with the form, the things that we can have eye consciousness. And so when you look, you can see that or form or energy, because form matters is energy. Energy is matters. So your eyes are matters. But your eyes is also bija, also seeds, is also energy. So five bases. If you say that your eyes see, is not correct. It's a subject and object of consciousness, and they manifest in the same time. And that the ground of that is all the seeds. That we call, kamnang is the seed. So when you see the five bases, five sense organs, then sound like, or you look at the other things like clouds, bell, etc., you must see that that is the manifestation of the base of the kongnang of energy, of energies. And so that seed and other manifestation, they give causes to each other since the non-beginning of time. Last time we learned that in Sotantrika school, it said that matters and bija, they are causes, mutual causes. They give birth to that one, and that one give birth to the others. And so like matters and energy, energies and matters. So, in the Vijnanavana school, there are a number of commentators who to look deep and try to explain the teaching. So when after Dingana, there are 10 very famous commentators on Vijnanava school. Among them, there is protection of the Dhammapada. when Huyền Chan, Chinese, a very famous Chinese, went to India and to learn, and Dhammapada was among one of the 10 famous commentators on that school. At that moment, he was more than 100 years old, and he was director of the Nalanda University. Nalanda University at that time, they said at that moment there is about 10,000 students of that school, at that university. And now in India, they set up a kind of university again, in Nalanda University. Last time when I visited India, they offered me a kind of honorarium doctorate of that university. And so that university is very famous for learning stitching, arts, medicine, this kind of five skills for the teaching of the Buddhism. And Neumann is an internal learn teaching. And at that moment where Thầy Huyền Chan from China and 7th century who came to China, I don't know, is it 7th or 3rd, I don't remember. But when he came, and then Dhammapada was director, and when he learned there many years and he went back, and he wrote a very thick book about the collection of all the Vijnanavada's teachings. On the 20th century, many scholars in the West have discovered a number of works of other commentators among the ten famous commentators is Anhui, Krimarati. He commented on the 30 verses of Vijnanavada. Vijnanavada is a school, very famous, analyzing a mind, and like a base of Buddhist psychology, you see. So Anhui said that our perception have two parts, this subject and object, but we cannot take it out. We cannot cut it in two. So for him, two is one. He said that we have object and a subject of our consciousness, but you cannot cut, so it's better to call nhất phần, it means one. So they call one part. But there's many teachers say that, but they are clearly two parts, so why you use only one? So Nanda correct, said that we have seen that the subject and object, and why you call only one? And Anhui said that one. Nanda said that two. Anhui said one. And that one, and Dinaga said three. Object and subject, and there is a base, the ground. And the ground. And he said like this sheet of paper. There are recto and verso, but the third part is the substance. The substance of the paper. Without the substance, you cannot recto or verso. So for him, the third one is the substance. Like the dime, there's also the head, the tail, and also the substance to make the dime. So like the euro, the piece of euro. The head and the tail. But the metal part, you call it, is make the substance of the two face of the euro can manifest. So Diana mentioned that there's three parts instead of two. So for him, that is fuel of force, the substance part, that is fuel of force. They also call Tử Chứng Phần. It means there are subject and object, but there is a part who be aware that he is subject, he is object. So they can, the awareness of there is subject, there is object. So they are kind of witnesses. These two parts manifest in the same time. They must have a kind of awareness that they about these two parts. So there is also Dinaga, this feel that we need to distinguish, like, this is the fourth one. We said that there is fourth part. Is Dharmapala, he believed that there is four parts, it's not only three. He's the director of Nalanda University at that time. So Thầy Huyền Trang, he studied with Dhammapada and he had the tendency to support the part of the four. So on the committee, so they call the oneness commentator, the sick dualist, two-part commentator, and commentators on three-part commentator and four-part. In scientists, there is also the same. They have some scientists create a kind of model for reality, but each group of scientists try to design a kind of diagram of our these scientists in order to describe reality. The reality may be beyond of that, but every scientist try to describe accordingly to their model. And you have the right to have many kind of models. And so like in Buddhism, there is sometimes we say that only two part, body and mind, nama and rupa. But sometimes we say four, like four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation. Sometimes we say five skandhas, form, feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness. So it doesn't mean that they are against each other, but each school have the duty to analyze in that way. And if you learn, you embrace everyone, and then you think that which one part work better with your practice, you choose that one. And you choose, but it's okay, we don't have to be against. We don't stick to your belief, and you say that is on your only belief is the truth. Let everyone do their way. But you, the scientists, do the same. So now scientists are more humble. They say that his science is not only take on the truth of reality of nature, is only a kind of model that they try to design in order for you to use according to your need and your knowledge and your practice. And so the fourth one, according to the school of four, Chứng Tự Chứng Phần, it means because he said that the third one, be aware of these two other. But which one can be witness of your? And the fourth one said, no, I'm aware that there is a third part.
Rồi nếu chúng ta hỏi nó tại sao như vậy, tại cần có phần thứ tư để nó ý thức về phần thứ ba thì nó sẽ không.
And people say that. And this, why we don't need to have the fear? No, because the fourth one is aware of the third one, and the third one can be aware of the fourth one. So they don't need the fifth. So in Vishnana school, they have it's kind of similar to science. They also propose many models, different models. Models. So in our store consciousness, there is many potentialities. The seed, or you can call seeds, these seeds, they do not exist like the way we conceive. They exist in kind of like coexist. They don't exist in a separate like we used to think, but they cùng có, it means coexist. Có is to be, but it's to be more than two. They exist in the way of it to be. So there's a seed of sadness. We must have a seed of joy. So the seed of attachment, we also have the seed of liberation. So there is sadness and then joy. And suffering is joy. And there is ugly people, it must have beautiful people, and this suffering is happiness. So it's kind of symmetric way of seeing things in Buddhism. So when you look at the store consciousness is a big collective energy. That big collective energy could be also individual and collective. No individual, no collectivity. So they are also only a kind of perception. So individual cannot by itself. Because we compare that it is collective, and then we have an individual. And collective is because there is many individuals. So the seeds are tonso. The seed is one part of the totality. The seed cannot exist separately, totally separate. No, the seed exists as one part of the totality. Like a flower, you cannot see as a flower by itself. A flower, you can see the totality of sunshine, of earth, of rain, of many things. In Buddhism, we start like that too. Like science, like physics science. If we say that there is a things have a characteristic, in order for you to distinguish to be different, when you see the flower is so different from the table, different from the cloud, the flower is just a flower, there's a characteristic. And the flower is not your pain, it's not a cloud. You start by distinguishing like that. Einstein also said like that. The object of physics is because everything have their position in the time, in the space, in the pace, and then and that things. In Buddhism, we call Dhamma, Dhamma in a minuscule word. But when we start by the flower is different, but then when we look deep and we see that the flower can have an the, in a flower, you must see that there is cloud, there is sunshine, there is rain, there is earth. And so if you take out all these elements, the flower is no longer the flower. So we start by saying flower is different. But when look deep, there is no self nature. They enter all with sunshine, rain, and so on. So they are empty of a separate self, empty of a separate nature. And so in Diamond Sutra, Abhyama Sutra said that this is because that is. In Agama Sutta, in the time of the Buddha, because the flower exists, because there is sunshine, there is rain, there is earth, and without rain, without sunshine, the flower cannot exist. And the Buddha said that this is because that is. That is in the R, in the language of the time. This is because that is. It's very simple. In Agama Sutta, it's the original text of Buddhism. You exist because your father exists. You are my student, and that is your teacher is there. And so teacher and student exist in the same time. So A, in our normal world, A is only A. A cannot be B. That is the beginning. Flower should be only flower. Flowers could not be a table. Flower just flower. Flower could not be a table. That is identity principle. Son could not only be son, cannot be father. That is the beginning. But when you look deep into A, the flower have no separate nature. A only can mate with non-A element, like the flower have not sunshine, not rain, not earth, not other. The flower cannot be flower. So A can be make baby B, C, D, etc. and countless element. And among them, there is also the mind elements, your mind element in the flower too. Yeah. So if you cannot see that, if you do not see A, which is made by many elements of without A, then you don't really see A. Because when you see me and you say that me is not really me, you have to see my father, my mother, my earth, my teacher and many friends of me. So in the sutra they said that you look at a bodhisattva, you see many elements without bodhisattva, and then you can see you cannot element of Buddha, not element of the human beings. And when you see A, you do not see all element without A. That is Buddhist dialectic. You have to see A with all the element without A. And when you overcome A in order to see that A without A, it's a really A. A without A with really A. Without, you can see A cannot be the flower without sunshine, without rain, without many things, in order to be really a flower. So you see the flower, you can see a flower without a really a flower, and then you see the real nature of the flower. And so if no, you can have only the illusory perception about the flower. So that is Buddhist dialectic, is A, flower, you must see rain, sunshine, and many elements without flower, and in that moment you can see really a flower. You see a person the same, there's three many things the same. You see Plum Village the same. Including you, your presence, make Plum Village. We look at things like birth and death, existence of non-existence, and we see that it's a kind of pair, opposite pairs, symmetric pairs, like A is birth, B is death. So how you can say that A could be B? So how you can say that A could be B? So A different totally would be like birth is totally different from death. Left is totally different from right. Down different from up. Birth cannot be death. Exists and could not be non-existence. But according to the symmetric law, you look at A and you can see many elements which made A. And the birth is also, they lean to each other in order to exist. So birth lean to death to exist, it's mutual leaning to each other. So according to my experiences in life, we have sufferings, we have pains, we have happiness. We see that happiness and suffering are totally different. Happiness is a reality. Objective reality has nothing to do with so happiness cannot be suffering, suffering cannot be happiness. But we don't see that happiness or suffering is depend on our way of seeing things. And people say that birth, death, old age, death is suffering. But there are those who say that that is normal. Birth and then if you like birth, you need so birth, death, there is nothing suffering. It depends on your way of seeing things and your judgment. And then we also learn that if there is no garbage, no manure, we cannot have compost to have nourish our flower, and no mud, how we can have lotus. So that is a condition for us to be happy. And then if we cannot take good care of our happiness, it's become garbage. And so like energy can become matters, matter can become energy. And so two at the beginning is look like opposite, but they enter all. They exist in the other side in the form of seed. And they are implicate, they are not explicate order. They are implicit, they are not explicit. Like that sheet of paper, it's recto verso. We said that verso, go away, I don't like you. If the verso is not there, how recto can be? So in right this left, in left this right. In suffering this happiness, in happiness this suffering. So at the beginning, in the world of distinction, A cannot be B. But you go in the world of looking deeply, and then you can see that A equal to B. And so we give birth to five sons. And you say that son cannot be father. No, not five. If you give birth to a son, son cannot be father. But without the son, there is no father. And in the son, there is a lot of fathers. And in the father, there is a lot of son. It's the implicate view. Implicate look. There is a scientist called David Bohm. He said that is two kind of orders. We call an implicate order and another order called an explicate order. That's David Bohm. And at the beginning, we think that these things exist, explicating or in an explicate order. But if you look deep, they look different like that, but they enter R in implicate order. So in sign, they have found, they see the entanglement. It means the entanglement, which so the existent birth and death, and, you cannot take it out. What we call enter R, they go superposition, entanglement. So in here we see that A cannot be, can never be B. However, in others, look deeply, the A is also B. And Buddhism says that if you search for nirvana, you have to search in birth and death. You cannot find nirvana outside of birth and death. You cannot find Buddha. You have to find among human beings. If you leave human beings, you cannot find the Buddha. You have to overcome that we call a non-dualistic view. The wisdom of non-discrimination. In science, in mathematics, we also see that. Like about geometry, we see that geometry based on the point and on the line. And, you know, how you define the point? The point is a meeting with two lines, if you have no notion about the line, you cannot have the notion about point. And what is the line? The line is the moving of one point in order to make a line. So in line there is a point, in the point is a line. It's a kind of implicate order. Is a way of look in the implicate order. In mathematics, we learn that there is a number, a real number. The real number must stay in the X from the no beginning until the no ending or something. Any number on this line, on that X, is a real number. And then you go in the beginning on in the end, you know no beginning, and then you call the end, there is no end. So here is a number 3,000, and then here is 5,000. You go to increasing. 3,000 cannot be 5,000. 5,000 is bigger. That's the number. When you look deep, and you see that the notion about no beginning and no ending is a kind of interbeing. If without that, no infinity, but no beginning, it's very far from no ending, but in the no beginning, there is a no ending there, and there are.
For example,
For instance, we see, we make a circle, we draw a circle. Symbolizing a kind of path. In order to take out the no beginning and no ending. Because the situation, you don't go on the line like that, but you go in the circle line. Circle line, then you can end the no beginning, even now they go back and you touch. And so you look in that direction, 5,000 is higher and 3,000 is higher. You look in the other direction, it's different. So the value of this point is the same. It means we think that no beginning and no end. But at the beginning, A is not B, but A is B. Because we take out the notion negative and ending negativity and ending positivity. So if we say one word like number one, like we said that a flower, if the flower is made of many elements without flower, and so number one is the same. This number one is made by many things without number one. Without number eight, 2, 3, 5, 5,000, 10,000, you cannot make the number one. The zero is the same. So the notion about one is made by many other number, because you say that one, you have 2,000, 5,000, 1,000,000. So you look at the number one, you see all the number. So you see 10,000, all exist in the number one. The flower is only can make with many elements without flower. And we can go to the endless beginning and endless no beginning. So in Buddhism, we have a kind of wisdom we call the wisdom, the insight. Tui Thungti, it means Tui Thungti, it means accordingly, but I don't know how to translate. The wisdom of the insight of Anuruma. Anuruma is Sanskrit. Maybe relativity. I don't know. I will let Thai translate later on. Tuitung means relativity. Or the ability to bring you from the world of conventional to the world of ultimate, intimate. But they can gently lead you from the world of relativity to the world of ultimate reality without difficulty. From the world, A could be only A, but could not be, may become B, and then skillfully, relatively, they can lead you to the world that you can see that A must be many things in order to become B. And this reality, because A could be only B, A flower could be only four, and in this world, A is not A, but is all the element of B coming together in order to make A. So that wisdom of shunyata, shunyata is emptiness. The goal of wisdom of shunyata, of emptiness, of relativity. And this insight, the wisdom of accepting A could be only A and skillfully bring you to the world that you accept, that yunkai means the causality. It means I agree with you, flower is a flower. But do you agree that the flower is made with many elements, with our flower, like sunshine, like rain, like the earth, like the gardener, etc.? So you only can see A, B, C, A. So you can see A, there is so many elements which is not A. So if you can see like that, you call causality interdependence. Thanks to that, interdependence things, we lead people out of the conventional way of seeing things, and they call alonoma, is Sanskrit term. It means accordingly. For me, the word Tithang means accordingly. It means cause, interdependence, causal. This wisdom used the interdependence, interbeing, in order to lead people from the A could be only B, A could be only B, to arrive to the reality of sunyata. It means sunyata means emptiness of a separate self. So you arrive to the world of sunyata, samyutta. Sunyata is emptiness, but samyutta is interdependence. In the Agama, there is one sutra who mentioned about that. They call it Khong Thương Ưng. Sunyata Samyutta. So, from that conventional truth, you use interdependence, you lead people slowly, skillfully, to accepting accordingly to the ultimate, and then they can be appropriate with the sunyata truth, the sunya. Adaptation. 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 To use from the conventional truth and bring people into the realm of ultimate reality, so they can touch the absolute truth of sunyata without shock. Sunyata is the emptiness of separate self. That truth could be adapted with. You don't need to oppose. In science, you don't need to oppose. If you mention about classical science of Newton, and there is a truth of Newton that now is look like, what this could be like now, like the Earth. It could be only Earth. It could not be the Moon. It could not be the Sun. Like this star could be only this star, cannot the other star. Like Mars could not be, not Venus, for instance. And so matters is not energy. But slowly, skillfully, we can adapt. tends to the look of interdependence, and slowly you can release the truth of conventional way to sitting, and then you enter gently, slowly, to the truth of appropriate. And then, so if you start right away, you in the quantum physics, it looks like a very difficult, different from the science of Newton. And then you cannot accept the science of Newton because it looks so different. But there are those who say that, no, it's not nonsense. Quantum mechanics scientists, that is nonsense. As some people have said that. Because it do not go adapt with the notion we have since the time of Newton and so on. Classical science. But when, if you have the wisdom of adaptation, you release slowly the notion that flower, only flower, no, or the earth, only earth, father could be only father. You start to release that notion, separate notion like that, and slowly you can adapt with a new way of seeing things. And then this word, this name. So the real name is Vyung Khai, interdependent, Tuy Thuan, adaptation. But so when we compare these two truths, it makes people get crazy, because why is so difficult, so different? Yes, this is, you said that birth and one with death. So wisdom adaptation. So you can lead people on slowly from the world of conventional way of seeing things. You slowly enter into the world of adaptation and the real profound truth. Yeah. And they don't feel any conflict. And they see that no birth, no death, no coming, no going. They feel no shock at all. The mind of adaptation. Anuloma, anuloma. Sunday we will end up this gatha, okay?